Julieta Tlevu. You're watching Stockwatch, and joining me in studio this evening are David Shapiro from Sassman Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send us questions, please do. SMS us 41392. You can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or you can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, nice to see you both. Not a great day for us on the market, but there were a few industrial shares like Sasol that got absolutely clobbered. But the overall tone wasn't particularly positive.
Well, look, a lot of resource prices came down, oil price came down, so you saw general weakness in the resource sector. And certainly earlier on today, the rand was a little bit stronger, which didn't help them. But on the other hand, you saw some recovery in the shares that were knocked down yesterday, the domestic SA Inc. type of shares. But of course, the big news today clearly was Sasol.
So I listened to, so they had all these numerous conference calls throughout the day, you know, having sprung this $1.1 billion cost revision to the Lake Charles project, which a lot of people were skeptical about from the start, which, let us remind everyone, was expected to cost $8.9 billion. And in fact, in 2016, David Constable, under whose leadership this project was initiated, said the worst case scenario was $11 billion. And it's now going to cost 13. Possibly $13 billion. So it sounded like Amos were having a conniption the conference calls.
And their own valuation, which might in fact be too optimistic, is $7 billion. That's what it's actually worth, and they're spending $13 billion. So to put that in context, you know, if you had to give that amount of money to Eskom that one company has lost on one project, we'll be out of the woods with Eskom's finances.
So inevitable to see the shares down 13%.
What Wayne's saying is that the return on capital, or the IRR, has gone down to 6.5%. What the market does, the market will revalue Sasol so that the IRR goes up in their mind. Yeah, on the share price. In other words, the market will adjust and will do its own write-off
or impairment. Which is what's happened now.
Which is what you're seeing now.
Okay. Because you could say, okay, hold on, the maths, you know, if it's $1.1 billion, it's just under 16 billion rand, but Sasol's market cap was down by 35 billion.
Yeah.
So does that take into account?
It overcompensates. In other words, you're going to say, this is what the earnings are going to be, this is what I want, this is a return what I want, this is what I will pay for the share price. And that.
Yeah.
But it's been a terrible project. I mean, it's been a terrible experience for them.
Yeah, because the other thing is, you talk about the internal rate of return, so 6 to 6.5%, but the cost of capital is 8%.
Yeah.
So what does that actually mean?
Which they've got to pay.
Look, when you've spent $12 billion, better spend the next $1 billion and get it finished.
Which is the situation that Eskom finds itself in with Mudubi and Kusile, for example.
Otherwise, your project's worth possibly $2 billion instead of maybe $5 billion. Mm. So you spend the extra billion to get it to work. But quite frankly, in the Sasol share price, this thing's in at zero. Mm. And there's two other factors here. One is these guys are now gun-shy with a big project, boy. They are properly gun-shy. So they're not going to spend money on a big project for a decade. Okay. And they know the shareholders are miffed as anything with them. They're going to pay you serious divvies.
Really? Yeah. Can they pay you serious divvies?
Well, they've got to make the divvies first.
No, but look, put it this way. They've put $13 billion into this thing. That's not going to happen in the future again.
Okay.
So there's money for divvies.
So that money is sunk.
Look, there are problems. Okay. You know, the polyethylene price, the ethane, all those prices are also going to determine what they earn.
Yeah, because
I don't
so
know what their borrowings
guys,
are. I don't know what their borrowings are against this, which is also a very important factor. You know, what they have borrowed against
this. Well, look, they stated quite clearly that their balance sheet's okay.
Yeah, I mean, they said that the gearing is, so it's 30 to 40%. Mm. I don't know what the actual figure is. But then
look, your gearing in US dollars will be massive because it's cheaper. Mm. It's way cheaper. So their gearing in US dollars, whether directly or indirectly via cross-currency swaps.
So now the question is, if you're not invested in Sasol, because if you are invested in Sasol, in fact, miffed is a polite word for us. You are very, very angry indeed. Would you buy Sasol shares at this
probably,
point?
Probably, if you look at the chart, if you go back, you'll find
probably
that 360 seems to be the
bottom.
Buy 360, somehow it seems to recover from those kind of levels. So if you're brave, I think those are the levels that you must identify.
Okay.
Yeah, if you get a longer chart there, you'll see that it hovers around 360.
There's positive and negative to all this, not particularly talking Sasol now.
Now, every
now and again, you've got to take a big risk for a company. Otherwise, you truly get nowhere. And a lot of the successful companies took big risks that happened to pay off.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot took big risks that didn't pay off and they aren't even here anymore. But I'm just thinking that with this case now and many, many other instances, guys are just going to be too hesitant, too scared to do something. Yeah. Like, I mean, the South African company who wants to go overseas and buy something in Australia or the UK or in Poland, their shareholders are going to look at them and say, you want to do what?
Well, I mean,
given
I
suppose, the record.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the wrong thing.
We've had a few.
We've had more than a few.
Long list. More recently, Netcare. I mean, that's come down quite dramatically.
Yeah.
Well, there's
Woolworths,
actually...
Tigers, all
yeah,
of these.
Tiger
all
brands
these
all,
yeah, yeah, all got their tails between their legs. Mm.
There's actually a question on Netcare. So so it's Netcare, the panel's view on Netcare, and also it says, David once picked SoftBank as a stock pick. Please ask him what his view is on the stock, especially seeing that their Vision Fund holds a lot of these profitless unicorns. These tech companies that don't make any profit but are valued at incredible valuations. Okay. But starting off with Netcare, did you see old Richard Friedland, the CEO, having to sell a whole bunch of shares today?
Was he called? Must have been.
So it was.
You know what happened?
Called.
I'm not sure that he. What's happened is I don't think he was behind the sell-off. I've got to work this all out. What I think happened is that the share price fell to levels which forced him to sell.
Yeah. I mean,
in other words, I don't think he prompted the dip. I think the dip prompted him to do the transaction.
The SEN statements say he was obliged to effect the trades outlined below, which is the value of the transactions, 173 million rand, in order to balance the cost of acquisition and related finance charges arising from the purchase of his shares and the exercising of share options over several years against the value of the
share. So the banks told him to sell. They say there's a stop loss here. You've got to clear it out to the stop loss. Normally what they do is they put a put option in at that level. So you don't become a forced seller. But you don't know the whole structure. There could be single stock futures against it. You just don't know.
Okay. But we don't know whether he, because we had this 20% fall from when the results came out, and that might have prompted them to get panicky and force him to sell some as well. You know, so do you know what I'm trying to say? I don't think that sudden drop, which we can't understand who triggered it, but whatever it is has been a bit of a disaster for their share price. That's gone back 6-7 years now.
So, and what does one do? I mean, what do you think the prospects are for
this industry? This industry is in dire troubles. Mm. I mean, the big positive for this industry, call it 2 years ago, was people are getting older and going to spend more medical as they're living longer. And that sounds good. It sounds like a great idea. But the other side, the negative side, is governments are squeezing these guys left, right, and center. And there's no one squealing on their behalf. This is an unloved industry. So it's a painless target for a politician. It's just painless. You can beat this industry on the head as much as you like, and there's no consequence for you as a politician.
And then you've also got the medical aids, which is
doing
what they
exactly
said in the results.
But also the government's going to squeeze them as well.
So you're the ultimate squeezee at the end of it all.
You're at the bottom of the pile in when it comes to squeezing.
If you're a hospital, yeah.
Okay, so basically, Netcare's...
Stay away.
Okay.
But it's a global story.
Yeah, so
it's a global story.
It's
not only South
Africa.
Life has also come down quite a lot. If you look at life, health...
They all have.
Yeah. Mediclinic's, I think, been holding up because everybody's waiting for a turnaround in their numbers, which I think are pretty soon.
Hmm. SoftBank, David?
Yeah. Remember, they've got Sprint. They've got a big holding in Sprint. And
Sprint, the telecoms company.
Yeah, and if that goes through the deal with T-Mobile, which the FCC, which is the operator, what do you call the FCC? They're the equivalent of, they're the regulator, should I say.
Are they the equivalent of South Africa's ICASA?
Yeah, ICASA.
Okay.
So they want it to go through for various reasons, because they want everybody to be... able to get 5G, and they're scared that some of the small operators might not be able to operate. But the Department of Justice is still believing that by reducing the number of operators to 3, it's going to push prices up. So there's a bit of a standoff. So the regulator is in favor of it, but not the Department of Justice, which is the Anti-Competition Commission. You know?
And ultimately, I mean, for SoftBank, is this a deal?
Well, they've got a big stake in Sprint.
But they've got
and they've been making a lot of companies, yeah. And they still trade at a discount to the underlying values in there. So we buy it because it's like an Asian Silicon Valley, all in one. Mm. We've done well out of it, you know, from the time that we recommended, which is far beyond any of the expectations I had. You know, I'm thrilled by the way it's performing, because that was not, never thought that would happen so soon. So,
yeah, lucky bet.
Yeah.
There's an element of luck to the game.
Yeah, total.
And also, if you can, please squeeze in a comment about Tesla.
Oh, no. What can you say about Tesla? First of all, he's larger than life, and you've got to. I admire him for what he does, but he just misses all targets. Yeah. And I think this Chinese story is not good as well. You know, he wanted to open up in China. China was going to be a big market, and with the trade issues grabbing him, it's going to be very difficult.
Serious debt, yeah.
I mean, there's actually two questions from another viewer, another regular, asking about their thoughts on Tesla as a going concern.
He keeps raising more and more capital. I don't know the product at all, but it seems to be a very desired product, even in Hong Kong and those areas. But I'm not sure how trade wars is going to affect it.
Could you see a big automotive company buying out of
Tesla?
It's
quite possible, yes.
So like a BMW or a Volkswagen?
They're all desperately trying to go into electric. And it quite happens at these sort of big junctures, these inflection points in the way the world works. The first couple of pioneers don't make it. Mm. And the guys who follow after that actually do it.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. There's a couple of questions on other US stocks, but I'll leave those for after the break when we're talking about US markets in general. A question on Glencore. So resources stocks coming under the pressure. What's the panel's view? Is the distribution reasonable? And what about its debt and also the share buyback?
Wayne. No, in Glencore, you just sit back. There's two investigations going on here. Sit back.
One thing that in the introduction when we were talking about Sasol, iron ore price over $100.
Yeah.
It's gone completely against the trend that we've seen in platinum, palladium, copper down. Copper, I think, at a 4 or 5 month low at the moment as well. But iron ore is just going through the roof.
You know, and no one knows why.
They all know why. There's a fundamental shortfall in the market of about 50 million tons.
Oh, okay.
Glencore, no exposure to iron ore. Okay, so, you know, it's more copper.
Yeah, and which they looked great for a couple of years ago before the iron ore price started.
Copper's probably got a better future than iron ore. I mean, if you're talking 5-10 years, because iron ore, there's plenty of it around. You've just got to build the production capacity to ship it. Well, it's actually not even the mining capacity, it's more the distribution capacity. The railways and the harbors are full. Kumba could export another 40 million tons of iron ore. There's plenty of iron ore in Sishen. Well, they just need a new. They said Transnet has actually been a lot better than in the last while. But there's still a capacity of 44 million tons on that one train line and the port. So if you want to export 80 million, you've got to build another train line and another port.
Okay. But back to Glencore, you feel that the investigations...
Yeah, sit back. Sit back and wait.
There's investigations into their trading, into all their...
And now there's...
So, and a bit of short-term pressure.
Okay.
Bribery and corruption and trading.
The three seem to go together like eggs and bacon. Yeah. We'll leave it there for a moment. If you'd like to send questions, please do SMS us, email us, or tweet us, and we'll be back shortly. Welcome back. Let's have a look at what's happening to those US markets. The S&P down 0.33%, the NASDAQ off 0.4%, and the Dow Jones trading about 0.25% weaker. And across the Atlantic, you had the FTSE 100 flattish, but with a positive bias. The CAC 40 down 0.1%, and the DAX rallying 0.2% today. We closed about 0.6% weaker. And still with me in studio are David and Wayne. I said to US stocks, please ask the panel their view on Uber and Netflix for the long term as an investment.
Uber.
Okay.
Now that's bright stock. I think he's still crying.
it hasn't been very successful.
No, you don't want to buy a company that's not making money. I think Netflix...
But why do you list a company that doesn't...
They should have listed it a lot earlier. And they still... I admire them. For the way that they've changed the way that we travel around. An incredible company from that point of view. But competition's easy. It's easy to come in. And they're just trying to get all over the world so that they can be in every every country and avoid competition coming and taking their idea. But I don't like companies that lose that kind of money. You know?
But look, ultimately, no matter what you think of unicorns and what happened to Amazon and Google and all of these things, ultimately, companies have to make a profit. Ultimately, you have to make a profit. You cannot continuing $1 billion loss a quarter. You ultimately, and when you look at Uber, and of course only the future will tell, when you look at Uber, when you read the chairman's statement that he gave out to all his staff members, it's, to me at least, it was quite clear there, listen, we have got a fantastic company here that has got penetration that to die for, but we're not going to make money on car hire. We're going to make money selling something else or doing something else with this massive distribution
but
and
selling
network.
Selling what?
But they don't know. Something, effectively, something will come up.
Well, you hope something comes up. I mean, I find it extraordinary that you can actually, and then you can have these august institutions, the investment bankers of the world, going out to their clients saying, oh, it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal to get Uber at $49, which is what...
They're the people who messed up.
Yeah.
They're the people who should suffer the consequences of the investment bankers, the people who pitched the price, which was obviously too high.
But, I mean, how do you sell a company that doesn't make money and has no immediate prospect of making money?
Yeah. They did sell it. It's just that everybody sold out afterwards, those who had the shares for some time. But just going to Netflix.
Netflix is different.
Netflix is a streaming wars. They've changed the way that we're going to entertain ourselves. And I think, just to cut a long story short, the two winners are going to be Netflix and Disney in the streaming wars. You know, I prefer Disney at these levels. Okay. I think down the line, they're going to be the winner in terms of streaming.
Look, there was this massive transaction that's just gone through where, I don't know who it is, has bought 20th Century Fox's distribution, and now they're going to come in as competition to Netflix.
Comcast, yeah.
As competition to Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know whether I got this entirely correct, but right now, Netflix will sell its content. That's why we watch Gawan. I don't watch it. But that's why there's Game of Thrones on Mnet, is that Netflix, at least HBO, HBO, this was their series, but they almost syndicated it. Mm-hmm. But with this new power base on the block in this area, they're not going to syndicate their films out to the Netflix and the HBOs and the Mnets. They're going to keep their own content, and then you're going to get massive rivalry where they don't share between the networks. So if you want to watch something, you're going to have to get four subscriptions to watch different series and different films from different archives. And
I sense a whole lot of pirating.
And that's why. That's why.
Yeah.
Long story short, the two that will survive will be the Family Channel, which will be Disney, but they've also got Hulu, which they've bought out, and the other would be Netflix. Okay. I think Netflix will survive. Netflix's biggest. Don't think gaming is not competition to Netflix as well.
That is.
Okay, so
people entertaining themselves using the cloud or storing.
But eventually there'll be an aggregator where you must decide: are you a distribution house or a production house? Do you produce or do you distribute? Because remember, I don't know, in the 1930s, whatever, in America, legislation came in and said the production houses cannot own the cinemas.
That's right.
The cinemas must be independent.
That's exactly right.
So they can hire a film from whoever the producers are. And it's not unreasonable to expect that might happen the future as well. So you must make up your mind: are you a distribution channel or are you a producer? You can't be both.
Now Netflix produces, Disney produces, everyone produces. Everybody produces as well. So Hollywood's just never had it so good.
Yeah. Okay.
Rubbish comes out, but comics come out. I mean, just... digitized commenting,
Marvel, Avengers movies.
I can't stand that.
That makes two of us. In the panel's experience, and this is sort of, under what circumstances would a CEO and a CFO resign unexpectedly, as happened with SA Corp yesterday, which is a real estate company?
An unusual set of circumstances, but we don't know what that is.
But we can
obviously
only assume that it's
not
good news.
Look, because we're not informed, and clearly the board didn't say, thanks very much, guys, you did well. You know, just said we accepted the resignations. Now, it could be because of underperformance. Put up a share price in 2 years.
What is the SA corporate share code?
That's the SAC. I don't know.
I think it's the SAC. put up the share price. Maybe it's the share price underperformance by the company. There's no talk now, or there's no rumors or anything about some skullduggery happening here. There's none of that. But companies must be very careful when they put out statements like this. You must say, these chaps resigned because they underperformed.
Full stop. Or
they resigned because there's an investigation into whatever.
It
doesn't help just to say, we resigned.
I'm surprised that corporate South Africa has still not yet learned that if you don't give an explanation there is an explanation, mm-hmm. and the conjecture is worse for you
worse
as a company
for you, yeah.
or for your stock market performance. I think we're battling to get the share code. I have to say, what I know about SA Corporate could probably fit into a petri dish, and that's... Okay, hold on, there we go.
To pursue his own interests, yeah, there we are.
Okay, that's not great. Oh, and we
that's
also saw...
SAC, see,
Hassan Adams stepping down as executive chairman from Grand Parade.
Non-executive chairman, but it is interesting because they've had a tough time there.
Yeah.
They've had a proper tough time.
You know, I've been looking at, I look at shares every day, and today HCI came out with their numbers as well. And I haven't looked at HCI for a long time. But if you look at the chart, it's another one that goes from the top left to the bottom right. You know, just profits under severe pressure, which is in gaming. Yeah. Has been in as e-news
and
unfortunately. So things are not easy.
No. We know that things are not
in the TV business.
In Comair as well. Comair as well. But that seems to
it's
be
it's lucky we've got very low cost at this studio. You know, everything's printed on a piece of paper. That's camera one, that's four, all on a piece of paper, handwritten paper, so you know exactly who's
Don't give who's the game away, David. I mean, we practically have handwritten charts.
We have to
Moving
draw them
on.
Ourselves.
What is the reason for the recent good performance of Ultron? Now, this was a good management, probably.
They've restructured the whole company, yes.
And they've picked up a lot of government contracts as well. So credit to management, have done exceptionally well. So where it goes to from here, whether they can maintain that, sure.
I mean, but that's the kind of chart you want to see.
That's the kind of chart, yeah.
But, you know, there's been quite a few restructurings. I mean, Lewis out today, that looked quite good. Mm. MMI out yesterday, that looked quite good.
Mm. Yeah, actually, there's a question in saying MMI looks like a Best Buy, got great management in with Hilly Mayer and highly rated Jeanette Marais Stain. Should I buy more?
Well, look, here's the dynamics. There's, let's call it low-hanging fruit in getting the earnings up. So they're up 26%. They say that they can make the target in 2 years' time or 3 years' time of between 3.6 and 4 billion profits. Put a 10 PE on that for want of a better number. That's significantly higher than the current one. So it's a, you know, the case of a market cap of 35 billion versus a market cap of 28 billion. So you've got an extra, what's that, about 20, 30% upside that. But maybe more importantly, the embedded value per share, which is a very good guide to the share price, is significantly higher. It's 27 Rand versus the current share price, I think, of around 18 or 19.
Okay.
So it's significantly higher. So yes, there are a lot of positive things happening at MMI, but understand at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, MMI, Liberty, name it, Sunlam, they need a bull market. Mm. To truly make a fat return on the share, you need a bull market.
And you need a better economy. You need
I think if anybody looks, it's not the economy. Believe me, they're geared to the economy over the longer term because you sell policies into the economy. Yeah. But in the shorter term, they're geared to an asset return way more than the economy.
Okay.
If you looked at Coronation's result,
you
know, it just identifies exactly what's happening in the stock market,
how
difficult it is to make profits.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
Stock picks.
Going for Bidcorp, came out with a trading update, and effectively they're firing on all cylinders. Any region they spoke about, things were going nicely. So, I mean, for that simple reason, I know the PE is relatively high. It's sitting at about 20, I think, so it's not a cheap share. But throw in over time some rand weakness and a really good operation, it just sounds like one that you must have in your portfolio.
Yeah. I don't know. Carrot Top has battered me.
Carrot Top?
Yeah, Mr. Trump.
Agent Orange.
Agent Orange, the tangerine man.
It just left me hanging. I can't get a grip on where markets are at the moment. I think they're holding up incredibly well, but at this point, I'm not quite brave enough to make any call. I think things, you know, things are difficult. I'd like to, we need a little bit more time to get our confidence back.
And when did you not see a brave Shapira?
Hey. I don't know.
I'm hanging on to the market, which itself is very brave, against all the noise that we're hearing at the moment. It becomes very difficult to read. So for the meantime, for this week, I'm...
Okay, better be back with some homework and stocks under your belt.
I still love the shares that I've got, but I'm not going to recommend buying them at these levels. You know.
David Wayne, thanks for joining us as always. David Shapira is from Sassman Securities. Wayne McCurry is from F&B Wealth and Investments. And we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. In the meantime, have a great evening. Stock picks.
Wayne. Yeah, going for Bidcorp came out with a trading update, and effectively they're firing on all cylinders. Any region they spoke about, things were going nicely. So, I mean, for that simple reason, I know the PE is relatively high. It's sitting at about 20, I think. So it's not a cheap share. But throw in over time some rand weakness and a really good operation, it just sounds like one that you must have in your portfolio.
Yeah. I don't know. Carrot Top has battered me.
Carrot Top?
Yeah, Mr. Trump.
Agent Orange.
Agent Orange, the tangerine man.
Yeah. It just left me hanging. I can't get a grip on where markets are at the moment. I think they're holding up incredibly well, but at this point, I'm not quite brave enough to make any call. I think things are difficult. I'd like to. We need a little bit more time to get our confidence back.
And when did you not see a brave Shapira?
Hey. I don't know.
I'm hanging on to the market, which itself is very brave. Against all the noise that we're hearing at the moment, it becomes very difficult to read. So for the meantime, for this week, I'm...
Okay, better be back with some homework and stocks under your belt next week.
I still love the shares that I've got, but I'm not going to recommend buying them at these levels. You know.
David Wayne, thanks for joining us as always. David Shapira is from Sassman Securities. Wayne McCurry is from F&B Wealth and Investments. And we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. In the meantime, have a great evening.